It's what we do, baby!
This is Race Wars. Race
Wars. I have the power!
Yeah! How's it feel?
With Kurt Metzger.
You're out of your fucking mind, dude.
And Sherrod Small.
Settle down, bitch!
Race Wars.
Boom! Race Wars back in the building. Only about 2 weeks away from voting for president. I'm going to do it like tomorrow anyway. So, but I hope everybody's out there voting. Everybody's
going in. You guys vote? Mary? Kate?
Yeah, of course.
You voted.
Is everybody voting? Good.
Yeah.
A lot going on right now. We got the next debate coming up in a few days. This time they will have the mute button so Trump can't talk over Biden, except for when he talks when his mic is already off. That's going to be great.
That's going to be great.
It's going to be so good. Let's introduce our guests first today. Kate, you go first.
Hi, I'm Kate.
Last name?
Herman.
What do you do?
I'm a comic.
And Mary?
I am Curvy Mary. I am the B-door. My OnlyFans is curvymary.com, and my Twitter and Instagram are at curvymary8.
Okay, welcome, Curvy Mary. This is your first time on the show, correct?
Yes, first it is. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes. Where are you from originally?
Yeah, first time on this show. Yeah.
Where are you from?
I'm from Denver, Colorado, but now I'm in the LA area.
Okay, where
can you not hear me? LA?
Yeah, I can hear you. Whereabouts in LA?
I'm in Long Beach. Long Beach?
Okay, Long Beach. Yeah, Long Beach.
Yeah.
Snoop Dogg's from Long Beach.
That's right. Yeah, I just started following him on Instagram, too. I mean, I didn't realize that he was from Long Beach until that.
and you grew up in Denver, huh?
Yes.
Now you went to high school?
I have spent, the first 35 years of my life in Colorado, and then now I'm out here in LA, and it's been a wild ride.
It's definitely a different atmosphere, different temperament to each place.
It is. Yeah, and it's beautiful, and the people are great, and I love, all the cool stuff to do, the beach, the food, everything's wonderful here.
Have you been back to Denver since all the quarantine's been going down?
I have been here for just shy of 3 months, and I literally left to go shoot here in LA, and I never went back. It's a whole long, fun story we can go into later.
Oh!
But what happened? Wait, let's get into it. What happened? How'd you end up in LA never to go back?
So, I started doing OnlyFans in June, as a result of COVID and it cutting into my income. I was in a commissioned job. I spent nearly 15 years doing corporate stuff. I went to business school and all that. So I had the white picket fence life with the house, the husband, the dogs, all that. And
and you dropped COVID. It all? You dumped it all in June? You dumped it all to get to LA? The husband and the dog got left?
Yeah, the husband got left. Hopefully the dogs, I get one or two of them back.
He's giving up those dogs, goddammit.
Yeah.
So you left the husband, moved out there for a job, stayed out there doing, what did you decide to just stay out there?
Well, I came out here to shoot, and he decided to out me to my parents.
No.
Maliciously, so I decided the relationship was over, and I came here to, and I was staying with this other porn star named Kendra Lee Ryan, renting a room out by the day, and now I just live with her. So, yeah, it's been crazy. Like I didn't think I would be staying this long, but I'm here indefinitely now.
So wait, Mary, how did you? So you didn't start in porn; you started on OnlyFans, and then
yes.
You transitioned to shooting. So how did that work? Was that your idea?
Was that
did somebody pitch it?
Right. Was that the husband's fear in the first place? Was he fearful of you going out there to do OnlyFans and it might turn into a porn thing?
Well, I started OnlyFans in June, and then I started getting attention from producers pretty quickly and making connections with people in the industry. And I went out to Vegas to shoot for the first time in August. And I was shooting about 2 scenes a day for a whole week. So I got a lot of content under my belt that first trip. And then, I was home for a couple weeks, and then I was coming out here to LA. And, I've gotten probably somewhere around 20 hardcore scenes under my belt now.
So was which, that your husband's fear? Was your husband down with it? Or was that this one he was fearing? He was like, that's what I was against.
Yeah, he was okay with it at first.
Yeah.
And then when I actually started shooting, he freaked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, the reality of it didn't hit him well.
Go
ahead, Kate.
When you started doing like your OnlyFans stuff, like it was for COVID, but like before that, like what, like were you just like always down to like do like things in front of the camera? Or?
Well, I mean, I've always thought doing porn looked like a fun thing, and I just never thought it was feasible. Like, I never thought that, you know, there was a market for me. I thought I wasn't pretty enough or photogenic or thin enough or fat enough in the case of the category I'm in. But, you know, OnlyFans showed me that there's a market for me, and there was, you know, attention and demand. And I really learned that, you know, there's fans for everybody. For every one guy that doesn't like something, there's 10 more who will pay to see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That's true. When you teach these young girls, son, these young girls don't want to make no money.
It takes a lot of hard work and some luck. Like, I can't lie. I think I've gotten lucky, but, you know, it's not for everybody. It's not necessarily easy, and it can have repercussions that if you aren't prepared for can seriously affect your life. But, you know, if you're one of the lucky few and, you know, you really work hard at it, you really make it a priority and you do the right things, like, you can make money doing it. But, you know, it's not for everybody. It's not all roses. And, you know, doing porn isn't, you know, the easiest job in the world either. It's not just people throw money at you when you take your top off.
Right. So this husband thought this would deter you. Going to your parents would deter you from doing it, but it only does fuel you.
Yeah. And, you know, I came out to my parents after that. And, you know, my dad said, you know what, I love you and I'll support you either way. He'd rather I didn't do it, but, you know, he was okay with it. And it's like, I did drastically change my life, but, you know, it's really been a good welcome change. I feel like I'm rediscovering parts of myself that I had previously repressed, and including on, you know, on my husband's behalf, basically. Like, he wasn't comfortable with a lot of aspects of my sexuality.
Like what? Don't gloss over that. Now, what are we talking about? He like stuff in his butt? He like you putting things in his butt? So what? Some guys don't like that.
Grow up. No, grow up and take it.
Yes.
Be an adult. Yeah, what did he have a problem with? The money or your happiness?
he had an issue with me not being under his thumb, I think.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
Ah, the old thumb.
Yes.
Everyone likes you to be under it.
That's right.
I've never heard a penis
and I'm under something else now, other someone's.
Never heard a penis called a thumb before, but okay.
Well, grow up.
So he was upset about it. So now y'all divorced, y'all separated. What's the story with that? Have you spoken to him?
I filed. So, you know, I'm in the process of the divorce now. Things weren't great, you know, before I even started OnlyFans anyway. Like, you know, our relationship had a lot of problems. But, you know, him deciding to out me to my parents was a deal breaker, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But you know what? Like, I'm out here having the time of my life. It's just the greatest adventure I've ever had. And yeah, my life is chaotic right now, but, you know, it's fun. And maybe someday I'll write a fun memoir or something.
You're like one of the few people where 2020 is your year.
That's true. That is very true. I mean, you know, there's songs about, you know, low-key, I don't know if you can say the F word on here, 2020.
Of course, you can. Yeah. Race wars.
Yeah, true.
You can actually do it on the show.
But, you know, like, I think it's brought about a lot of changes for a lot of people. And yeah, it feels like the entire world has gone mad, but, you know, everybody's getting creative and, you know, learning things about themselves that they didn't know before, or about, you know, people that they've been quarantining with. It's been a crazy year for sure.
Yeah, definitely. If you got to get locked in a house with your mate or your spouse, and you're used to being out the house, going to work, going to different activities, and not putting all that time in together, you really find out who you're with, and you go like that. I don't think I want to be with this person too much longer.
Yeah. Yep. No. Yeah, I learned that, you know, he has a lot of deal breakers for me, unfortunately. So
Is he an anti-masker? He sounds like an anti-masker.
He's actually a big masker. Okay. Yeah, he just wasn't treating me right, unfortunately.
So have you been meeting people out there? Have you met anybody that you're into? Are you dating in this new life?
Yeah, I have been dating.
Wait, first of all, are you shooting scenes with women or men?
Both.
Yeah, okay.
Have you
repeated scenes with somebody yet?
Yes, I have. One guy, I shot with the same guy twice when I was in Vegas that first trip.
Yeah. You shoot with somebody twice in porn, that's a second anniversary. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, do I get a penis cake for the anniversary or something from the erotic bakery?
I'll say.
Is it like kinky stuff or is it like regular scenes? Do you have like a niche like that, or is the niche like I'm Curvy Mary?
The niche is I'm Curvy Mary. Like, I'm 35. I learned after I turned 30 that the most like genuine and real like version of myself is the most attractive to people, both on a relationship level and on a friendship level. Like when I'm just genuinely me, like people gravitate toward me a lot more. People are friendlier, I'm happier. My relationships are more genuine. You know, there's more openness and honesty with everybody, and that obviously benefits everyone. But it's just a crazy thing, definitely.
Definitely.
You're happier now that you're getting off, I'm sure. You're getting off more.
Oh, yeah.
High five yourself.
Yeah, I've actually even gotten off on camera. I didn't know that was going to happen. So, yeah, but porn sex is completely different from like regular sex because when you're having porn sex, it's what looks good, right. Not necessarily what feels good. So, right. I have had sex with some co-stars after the shooting ended.
Here we go.
There she is.
Here we go, bitch. Stop holding out.
Get into it.
Yes. I have to say, on average, sex workers, really good. They're just sexual people. They know what feels good, and they're very sensual, and it's like, shooting a scene with somebody is kind of like a preview of what's to come. And like if you were to really have sex with them,
right,
in private, and
it's like a trailer.
Like, okay, I know what you're working with now, and then you have sex with them in private, and it's like, oh, okay,
of the people that you had sex with off camera was the guy you shot a couple scenes with?
Yes.
I knew it.
So how does that work? Actually, one of them, he and I, we been spending some time together. Like I go stay with him a few days at a time. I actually blew him on the radio the other day in common songs with his dick in my mouth.
Okay. Now what kind of songs are you talking?
Sorry?
What songs you have to sing? What is thinking about?
Well, they started off with asking me to hum the national anthem.
Awesome.
And that one was easy. And then they wanted me to do Patriotic. Saints Go Marching In. And then I had to come up with one, and I did This Is Halloween from Nightmare Before Christmas, because it felt very seasonally appropriate. And then I started humming Christmas carols because I was trying to think of things that you don't have rights. So they want me to come back for their Christmas special to hum Christmas carols with a dick in my mouth on December 23rd.
Congratulations.
I don't know what that husband was worried about.
Hey, I was a very good girl. Like, I did not stray at all. It was 4 years of perfect church-style monogamy. Mm. I managed to do it. And then porn happened. So.
Porn happens sometimes. I mean, yes. Ivanka Trump said to find something new, and I said, you damn sure did that.
There you go.
That's true. Yeah, like, and if you, for the people out there who've ever considered getting into porn, you know, if you realize that it's really like a combination of several side hustles that add up to a full-time job, like, you know, you have to have that attitude. Otherwise, you're going to be shocked, because especially when you're new, the pay rate is pretty low.
Yeah.
So if you're not established, people aren't going to pay as much or even at all to shoot you. Like, you know, a lot of the time, you know, the way to get started is to just start shooting scenes with people and posting them on, you know, your online, you know, platform for sale or OnlyFans or something like that. It's a lot more work and a lot more hustle than you would expect. And really, honestly, the crux of the job is promoting yourself. It's not looking pretty or having sex on camera. It's working it and getting yourself out there and making the connections and talking to people and knowing how and when and what to post and, you know, just kind of learning the social media intricacies.
Yeah, it's a whole hustle. It's a fucking hustle, because you got to be, you know, social media savvy in these days, and you got to kind of be your own publicist no matter what you're doing.
Yeah, you do. I mean, I have a publicist now, but I'm still always looking for opportunities for people to shoot with or stuff like that. And you know, and I'm looking for other things to do for appearances and you know, and I've really been enjoying doing all of these media appearances, and I'm thinking, well, you know, maybe that could work into my end game someday, because I think, you know, when you go into porn, you need to realize it's not forever and you need to think about your end game. And so right. I'm always trying to think of what's my next opportunity. And that's the business school grad in me too.
Yeah. I was in porn. My end game was I put firecrackers in my butt and around my penis.
I actually know a guy who stuck a Roman candle in his pants on 4th of July, and he burned his dick pretty bad.
What the? It had to be a white dude. White dudes love punishing their penis.
It wasn't a white dude.
Always. I would never do that to my beautiful black cock.
Well, he did. But so he's 21. You know, so you do stupid things when you're 21.
Oh, you're an idiot at 21.
Yeah.
Have you spoken to your family since then? Are they, like, cool? Or are they kind of mad at you?
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to my dad and everything's okay. I mean, my mom was still residually mad at me after my soon-to-be ex-husband got his vasectomy. So, I mean, things were already tense between my mother and I.
Wait, what happened?
He didn't want kids?
She was mad that he got a vasectomy because to her it was tantamount to saying that she's not getting grandchildren, but she seems to forget that I have a brother who still might have kids someday.
Right.
Why? What about you?
Man had a vasectomy. Just say he was in a boating accident.
Yeah. I don't really want kids. I mean, I think that's, you know, a valid choice for anybody. I just didn't want to do it, and I still don't. But
I don't
want anybody who wants to have kids. More power to them.
Yeah, kids. What do you say, Kate?
I said birth control is my best friend.
Yeah, you love some birth control to keep those kids out of there, huh?
Yep.
Yep.
I love my IUD.
Now, I know back when you were in Colorado, not in porn, you were a responsible voter, Mary.
Yes.
Now, vote is coming up.
I'm even having my ballot mailed to me so I can still vote.
That's what I'm talking about. Now, your family smell like they're Trump family. It sounds like there's something Trumpy going on over there.
No, I mean, they're pretty WASPy, but they're actually more liberal leaning, which is good. My dad actually watches Fox News only to piss himself off and get fired up sometimes.
Right.
That's why I do Fox News.
Oh, okay. So you're trying to be the devil's advocate there.
You have to be. You got to go where the fight is. That's why I tell everybody who questioned me on Fox News, I was like, I go where the battle is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to go to MSNBC where everybody's just high-fiving you every time you go through there.
It depends. I think MSNBC is pretty centrist, though, too.
Right.
I need some pushback in it. So you already getting your ballot mailed to you. You're voting.
Yes.
Are you excited about this?
It's supposed to be coming in the mail today, even. My best friend texted me and said that it should be arriving today.
Now, can I ask you, who are you voting for? Because I know white people like
I am voting for Biden.
Okay, Biden.
I actually, believe it or not, I'm going to be in Washington, D.C. on election day, so that's going to be wild.
Oh, you're going to get some work out there.
Yeah, I'm going on tour. I'm going to Chicago, then D.C., then New York.
Wow, when are you going to be in New York?
I'm going to be in New York on the 5th through the 10th. So in Chicago, 25th to the 1st, and then from Chicago to D.C. until the 5th, and then on the 5th to New York till the 10th.
Nice. Let me book some karaoke right now.
Yeah, erotic karaoke, that's what I should call it. Actually, they were naming it Name That Poon on the show that I did the other day.
Ah, that's pretty fucking funny. So how have you been?
They made up the game for me.
How is it different quarantining in California compared to in Colorado?
People, I think, are marginally better about masking here than in Colorado. Like, when you go outside or, like, to a park, walking around, nobody wears masks outdoors. You come here, and I think it's compulsory, at least in LA County, but everybody is wearing masks outside all the time. And I've been to Vegas actually 3 times during quarantine, and every time it's gotten progressively busier. Like the first time I went, that 1 week that I was shooting straight, I mean, I practically never left my room because I was either sleeping, shooting, or ordering food. But it was like nothing was open. I mean, the casinos were, I mean, the slot machines were open. And they had like hand washing, hand sanitation stations everywhere. And at the pool that we went to, they yelled at us if we didn't put our mask on over our face in between sips of a drink. Wow. But I was there the other day, and it was like normal amounts of people. It was wild.
Really?
Yeah, they were still wearing masks, but people were everywhere, and a lot more stuff is open now. And they just don't worry about congregating too closely together. I mean, they were packing into the elevators and everything.
And Nevada is one of those states that's peaking right now.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, and I'm a little nervous about Chicago too, because I know they're peaking.
Yeah.
But I mean, I get tested regularly for COVID, you know, as part of the adult industry panel. And a lot of people won't even shoot with you if you haven't gotten a test within the last 4 days.
I bet.
Right.
But we're going to get tested before and after we get off the plane to make sure we're good. Because we don't.
I never thought I would live long enough to see a virus top 8, huh? That was the virus of my generation.
That's the oldest thing I've ever heard you say.
AIDS was our virus.
I remember the good old AIDS days. Good old AIDS.
My friends.
I was just on a plane. I went to Austin for the weekend, and like we were social distance, everything's fine. People for the most part are like doing... people are like pretty responsible actually, and they're also like super hot and American down there. I was just like, all right guys, but on the flight back, the lady, so they try to distance us on the plane, right? So like we'd all settle in, she'd be like, oh, you can move here, you can move here. So I was there was a seat in between me and this other lady, and she had like really pleasant lady, she had a full mask and like scuba goggles on the entire flight, just in case she gets that AIDS, that eye AIDS.
AIDS of the cancer of the gonorrhea of the herpes.
And that's it. I was like, girl, you are doing it. I feel so safe that nothing on you can travel to me, and that all of my germs will bounce right off of you.
But Karen, it sounds like you in like March.
Oh my God. Yeah. I know. Oh, I was going out with gloves. I was going out gloved. I don't wear glasses. I'd go out with my fake little blue light glasses.
Silk masks.
I've seen people flying in hazmat suits actually.
Karen is wearing stuff that looks fashionable. It ain't protecting her for anything.
I don't care. It's called looking cute and also not dying. Oh my God. I would bring a change of gloves so that when I touch something and I left the store, I could change my gloves. I brought a bottle at the beginning. This is the beginning of the pandemic. This is the back brace in me. I brought a bottle of spray alcohol with me. Remember the beginning when people were like, what the fuck? Everybody's buying everything in the stores. We didn't know what was going to happen. Lockdown's about to start. Yeah, but we really didn't know. So we thought, oh my God, everybody's going to die. And I brought a bottle of spray alcohol with me to like sanitize everything, like my doorknobs, everything that I touched. And I went to the Duane Reade and was like spraying their shit down. And they were like, ma'am, we don't do that here. We got it. Just leave everything sprayed. They're like, you're disgusting.
You're such a Karen.
I Karened immediately.
So you carry a lot of Karen guilt too, because I know I do.
No, fuck no. No, I don't. First of all, my name is Karen, not Karen. It's Karen with an E. It's completely different.
It's Israeli blonde.
It's that Israeli shit. Jews were just holocausted. I'm not responsible for these Karens. I'm not responsible for, I did not enslave people.
You never see somebody yelling, I'm Jewish these days.
I scream it. I say, Jews are not white. Calm down and grow up. My name is Karen. Jesus Christ. Yeah, it means ray of light in Hebrew, but obviously in English,
it means privileged.
In English, it means annoying, English. Horrible cunt. Yeah, so I get it. I get the confusion, but like, nah.
Well, no, in San Francisco, they just passed the Karen Act, but it's spelled with a C.
Stop it.
So there goes those Karens, too.
What's the Karen Act?
What's the
it's
act?
To make calling 911, like, without legal, a crime illegal. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
They did. I thought they did that here.
I thought it already was.
Yeah. It's like, no, it ain't. That's like right. That chicken in Central Park who called the cops on the bird watching.
Yes, right. I thought they did that.
They put two new charges against her last week.
Did they?
But they also did a new bill about calling 911 with false claims, definitely racially false claims.
Right. That lady fucked up so bad. Has she changed her name?
Amy Cooper. I'm going to keep that shit going because she's a cunt. Anybody who's calling the cops or falsely accusing anybody of anything is a
I just like, you get that hysterical. Like, I can get angry. I can get, like, worked, like, with real things. And I don't think I've ever gotten, like, that weirdly hysterical. Especially in like a non situation.
Not in a non-situation.
Like a wild.
Not when it's non.
I know, like in a real situation though, I still don't go like, you know, like I would never.
I've only called the cops two times in my life, and both times it was a genuine emergency, and both times
on a white person?
Once it was a white person.
Once
it was on you. And I apologize already, so I don't know why we're bringing it up. You're my dad. I thought it was under the water under the bridge.
So when I came in through the window. I told you I lost my key.
There was this guy robbing the holiday market in Union Square like years ago. This must have been like 5-6 years ago at least. Right. And I was like, oh my God. You know when a genuine emergency is happening?
What do you mean, like, at night? Like when it's closed?
Is this happening? No, it was during the day. This guy just like ran into the shop, was like grabbing all this shit, fucking the whole thing up, and then pieced out of there. And people were like freaking out. A bunch of big dudes ran up and like tackled him. And I was looking around. I couldn't see anybody calling. You know when it's an emergency, but you're like, is it an emergency? Like calling the police is such a big deal. Do I do it? Like, does this count?
I never want to call.
I never want to call. But I was hanging out with my roommate at the time. My roommate was such an insufferable cunt. And she was like, I'll do it for you if you're too scared. And I was like, no, fuck you, bitch. I'm calling the police.
Was that the black dude take the Christmas stuff?
I don't know if he was black. He didn't look white to me, but I wasn't like registering. I wasn't like, this is for black people. I was like,
So how many white people did you call the cops on, bitch?
One.
It sounds like a black dude and an almost black dude.
No. There was one person of indeterminate race. Okay. it was winter, so I couldn't like all the data wasn't coming through, right? There were like gloves and stuff on, so I don't know.
Who was the white person you called it on? A boyfriend, nigga?
No, it was a friend going through a crisis, and I needed help. It was weird and scary, and I like didn't want to do it, but I didn't have a choice because it was out of my league. It was like out there, and I was like, well.
Were they acting like they was going to harm themselves or harm others? Yeah.
Yep.
Both?
No, themselves. And I was like, look, you might be fine or whatever, but you don't seem fine. And if you're not fine, and I just didn't want to make one phone call that's like maybe mildly embarrassing, I will never, ever forgive myself. And what do I tell your parents? Like, let's just get this out of the way and get this over with. So,
and after it happened, did the person thank you after the situation? I didn't ever talk to you again.
No, we're friends, but I think it was really traumatizing for them, and understandably so. And I think that trauma, the like resentment from the trauma kind of was directed at me a little bit for a while. I don't blame them at all.
Did the cops take them away? Did the cops come and take them?
The paramedics did, but cops come. Cops come when you say
it was a 7:30 situation. 7:30.
It was a mental thing. So I guess the cops come.
We call that 7:30 in the business.
Well, so you're not violent, which they were, started kicking cops. And I was like, you cannot do that.
He was started kicking cops, the person?
Yeah. And just like not like very scared. And like it was, right. it was, you know, traumatizing for them, obviously.
Look how understanding you are for the white person you call the cops on. He was scared and he was traumatized. Scared. Meanwhile,
I'm sorry. Is having a mental illness committing a crime? Am I being racist?
But well, why?
I mean, please tell me.
Who's to say the dude grabbing shit? That sounds pretty mentally disturbed, grabbing shit at the fucking holiday fucking market.
Be mentally disturbed as much as you want. I'm not calling the police on every mentally disturbed person. I'd be on the phone all fucking day. I called the police because it was a fucking crime. And the other case, my friend needed help urgently and I wasn't equipped to give it. So those are the two cases. You want to be mentally ill? Be my fucking guest. Call me up. I'll listen to your mentally ill psycho babble all fucking day long if you're my
friend. You have, and I thank you for that.
And I have.
And I thank you.
I will
for
not
that,
call
Karen.
The police. You're welcome. And I welcome you.
Can I jump in and ask you like a serious question related to that? Like, how do you feel about the idea of, you know, like reforming the way, you know, policing is done in this country?
I'm definitely for it.
Essential services, you know, like social services, mental health, all that goes through a separate provider who responds as opposed to the police.
Well, one city already agreed to send out mental health care people with their patrol officers when they called out on a mental health case. They're already accompanying their patrol officers with these mental health workers.
That's what you have to do.
That's a great idea.
I
think that's the right way to send money instead of just locking people up and fucking shooting them in the street.
But you know what else? You know what absolutely freaks people out when they're in the middle of a mental health crisis is the fucking cops showing up. Mm-hmm. That is terrifying for a regular
person.
Definitely
if you're black on top of that, it's like, we don't 100%. Have help for mental health.
No, you don't. And you know what? It was one time like a cop knocked on my apartment door by accident. I opened it up and I freaked out. Like, and there was nothing wrong with me and I wasn't committing crimes or in trouble or whatever. It's like, it's very jarring to have a cop in your home or in your presence. They're big. Like you see them outside, but when they're in your home, you're like, oh, you're huge. You're huge and you've got all this stuff on you. You're just a big person and you've got a lot of authority. And then my friend who was not well looks up and who can fucking blame her? Spaz the fuck out. I just absolutely don't blame her. It was so weird.
There's also like a lot of departments, well, not a lot. Some departments have started doing training with like about mental illness and how to just detect it, because a lot of the times if somebody calls and you show up and they don't even know that they're mentally ill, like that's what happened in New York, right? In Albany or whatever. But the guy, if you don't know,
the young kid, his family called the cops.
They came, but they like didn't have all of the information. You know what I mean?
It's the guy that they put that spit hood on him, and then he suffocated.
Oh, that's a different, that's black people. That's a black family. Yes, they put a fucking hood on him.
Yeah.
Because he was spitting, and he was, you know what I mean? There's all this stuff going on. He obviously had
and he put a on his neck, too.
But they didn't know how to handle it because they weren't equipped.
Trained.
Like they didn't have the resources to like, no, it took somebody else to be like, oh, that's like, because he was having a fit. But I totally think that just like restructuring it though, and you can't like make the police the village for everything, you know? Like I definitely think that things need to be like.
Well, the police are supposed to deal with violence, and I understand, and that's a job that we need to do because I sure shit don't want to do it. So somebody who wants the job is going to have to go out there and deal with the people who are violent. Like, when people are like, abolish the police, no, we need them. Some people are bad, some people commit crimes, some people are dangerous, and sometimes you have to call the fucking cops. We need the cops, but to send a person who's trained to deal with violence...
They don't need military equipment. It's
that's
like
it. Same sure. No, you literally are bringing a gun to a knife fight.
A mental disturbed person's fight. Voices in your head fighting. You don't need a gun for that.
Sometimes they're bringing a gun to a birthday party.
Yeah,
barbecue.
Or whatever. Or wherever the gun goes with you.
No, it's all training.
We can send some of those funds that we do send to the police department and take some of those responsibilities off of them, like mental health situations, and send it that way instead of buying tanks to fucking deal with people and fucking military equipment. We ain't at Queen and Iraq.
The American police, the way that they started, you know, with the Fraternal Order of Police, all that shit, you know, like it hasn't been that long. We haven't had that much time to kind of revamp and adjust
It's been time to do that. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like every 10 years there's talk about reforming the police and abolishing the police and changing something when something big happens. But, you know,
the point of the police has always been authority.
The point of the police is always chasing. It was just slave catchers, all of them. They all came from slave catching shit, slave patrol, and that's what we bought our police out of.
Yeah.
That's what police came from America. That's why we got to start from the beginning with our policing. It's like we got to stop. Mm-hmm. It ain't all law enforcement. The shit came out of something racist. It's like
the KKK were such a big part of it.
Address all our situations that we have going on. Right.
Well, they have a specific function, and that's to deal with violence. So it's like, you know, you wouldn't eat soup with a hammer. Like, they're not good for everything.
Right.
You know, you need a nice safe spoon for that.
But that's even an evolution, like an emergency number for social and mental health services. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, people sometimes may have to wait for social services now because it's harder to access them.
Yeah.
And it would be great if there were like a number you can call, like, hey, I don't have anything to feed my kids this week. You know, like somebody's in that kind of dire emergency. I know, you know, during the pandemic, so many people found themselves without income, without food. I mean, food banks were obviously overloaded. And, you know, if we had something in place, that would be amazing.
Yeah, that's why we need to start from the beginning. We need to start from the bottom and fucking really build the infrastructure that protects ourselves. It's like, we're not doing this for strangers. We're doing this for us.
Well, it's supposed to be protect and serve, right? And I even think Karen's point about it being about violence is an evolution, because when it started, it wasn't about violence, right?
Right.
It just, like, wasn't. It was about maintaining law.
And
law and order. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it's about keeping the slaves where they...
I mean, yeah. Right. So yeah. It's not... It's evolved to be, like, if you... Like, because then they all had guns. You know what I mean? And it's like, okay, so they can have guns. But then everybody had guns. So then it was like that whole thing.
But the idea of police has always been violence. Ever since day one, you don't have a police force. The whole idea of making a police force is, look, this is a special group of civilians. They're not like the rest of the civilians.
No, the police was literally kicking black people out after sunset of town.
Of course. But that, yes, we're agreeing. That is violence. From the inception, it's been about violence. But I'm saying that's the American police. Any police force in the entire world is the state saying, these are the only people authorized to use violence. You, the civilian, can't. Nobody else can't. We, the state, have a monopoly on violence, and we get to say who the recipient of violence is. Only us, not you. And that is perfect for abuse. That's mm-hmm. perfect, because it's not just the organization saying, we as the police can exercise violence on you. It's the fucking government, the big, big, scary government that you can't fight against, saying, fuck you, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's been on black people's neck for the longest. It's like, right. Nobody been through more of that fucking abuse than us in the history of this country. It's like the police were designed to keep us down as black people.
That's why the Black Panthers brought the guns to the state capitol or whatever, right? And like then all of a sudden, like we had gun control for a second.
Yeah, because they saw black people with guns. That's why I love the everybody's showing their guns now on Instagram. All the black militias with their guns out. Guns out, bitches. Guns out.
Yep.
Because we got legal guns too, bitch.
Yeah, well, a lot of people have legal guns, unfortunately. That's the other thing. It's like, look, if this is, whose fault is it then that, like, you know, if the civilians are armed to their teeth and we just let everybody have guns, it's not about black people, like white people are armed to the fucking teeth. You know, these like doomsday preppers with an AK somewhere. Then
the RNC special guests of honor.
And we're shocked that the police have to show up like guns blazing, you know, like we made the cycle unwinnable. Have some more guns on this side, and then the other side needs more guns, and the other one needs tanks, and the other needs
Because the same anti-tanks. People making money off all these weapons. The same white faces making all the money on all these weapons.
Right.
Same white people.
Well, I mean, the gun culture, like three families. Country.
Three white families.
You're right. It is a culture, though. It's a gun culture. Yeah. American culture is gun culture. I don't think you'll ever get rid of it.
Now you won't.
Yeah, because it's written into our Constitution. I mean, that's the problem, is that we have a gun culture that's unique in the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at other countries that after they've had mass shootings, they'll outlaw, you know, weapons of some sort, if not everything.
Like New Zealand.
You know, we just make little tiny moves every time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We'll stop. We'll ban bump stops, but you can still get the guns. Meanwhile, New Zealand, Australia, they have one incident and they end that shit.
Done. Yeah, and New Zealand doesn't even have COVID anymore.
No, they have zero cases.
Let's give it up for the Kiwis.
Fuck them.
Yeah, fuck them.
You know what they did to the natives over there? I mean,
you know what they did to a whole bunch of
the rocks over there?
Yeah, they did. They didn't like the rocks.
I mean,
they were anti the rocks.
They Aborigines got it just like fucking Australia.
Didn't they, though?
It's like, yeah, they're doing good things now. I like the prime minister now in New Zealand who stopped all the automatic weapons. But we all every country has their history of fucking this atrocious shit.
Wait, Mary, not to change the subject completely, but how do you find L.A., like, speaking of cultures? Because L.A. is, like, I lived there for a little while. It's very, like, smoothies and, like, everybody's, like, plastic and, like, perfect. And like,
well, I mean, I'm in Long Beach, so it's a little different. I mean, it's not like I'm in Beverly Hills or something,
right?
Or Orange County, even. I mean, every little pocket of Southern California is different.
That's true.
Yeah, Long Beach is much more diverse. There's, you know, a large gay population, a large Asian population. There's, you know, a lot more diversity in Long Beach than in, say, Orange County, for example, which the is you know, obviously a much redder area.
The Orange Curtain, baby.
Yeah, I mean, I'm from Colorado, which isn't so vastly different in terms of the crunchiness and all that good stuff. But yeah, there is more plastic, but I haven't really been privy to a lot of it, fortunately, because you know, I haven't been hanging around in the slums of Beverly Hills. So.
Now, do you see yourself staying out there even after what, like next summer at this, or next year at the same time? Will you still be in LA?
I'm considering my options. I'm thinking either here or Las Vegas because a lot of the BBW porn stuff is in Vegas. And it's a cheaper cost of living and it's kind of central to all the places I go to regularly. But I love Long Beach. I might just stay here. We'll see what happens. You know, I'm just kind of seeing what opportunities come my way. And, you know, while I am so used to having a life where I can look down the line and predict where I'm going to be in a month, a week, a year, a decade, you know, I don't have that anymore. But you know, I gave that up, that sense of security, to have this adventure that I'm having now.
I respect that. Now, when you shoot in Vegas or in Nevada, do you shoot in Vegas or are you like surrounding the suburbs like Henderson or North Henderson or something like that?
It's mostly in hotel rooms, like on the strip, because like you want to pick a hotel room that looks nice on camera. So, you know, you want to rent somewhere that's not cheap. You're not going to the Fleabag Motel. You know, I shot a couple of scenes in someone's apartment, you know, and that's pretty much it. Most of the scenes I did were in my hotel room, honestly.
Oh, okay. I know some guys, they rent houses out in Henderson.
Yeah, it depends if you have enough people to make it feasible. Like if you're going to, you know, rent a house, you're going to want to have several talent and you're going to want to have, you know, multiple camera people. You're going to need, you know, to make it financially make sense to rent a whole house for a shoot. But, you know, I've been to like professional porn sets too. Like I shot for this company called Jeff's Models and they have a set that's like in an industrial building, but you go inside and they've got like, here's a living room, here's a bar, here's a kitchen, here's the, you know, the really fancy bed area. And then there's like a massage room and stuff like that. Like it's really decked out. And it was really cool seeing that. But I mean, for modeling shoots, I've been to professional studios too. Like I did one the other day in downtown LA that was like super cool, like blue and gold. It looked like something off of like, you know, an Outkast album, honestly. It was pretty cool.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So what kind of precautions do they take on set as far as like COVID is concerned? Do y'all have to get tested right away? Do y'all have sanitizer? Is people sanitizing penises?
So for talent, like I mentioned before, we get tested every 2 weeks. when we're actively shooting for the full panel, and that includes COVID. But a lot of companies and people will only shoot with or for somebody who's been tested for COVID within the last 4 days. Mm-hmm. And then the crew wears masks while on set, but they also get tested for COVID too within that same window. So everybody's tested, you know, there's masking going on. The only people who don't have masks on are the talent, you know, when they're actively shooting. Like, I've gotten my makeup done and then had to walk around with a mask on and like oh crap, like, you know, what's gonna happen to my lips and stuff like that. But you know, it's a precaution you've got to take, right, in order to feel safe and be safe and not spread the virus. I mean, everything is so different. This world is so unprecedented in our modern time. Nobody knows what's going to happen next, and honestly, I think a lot of people are losing interest in being safe, and things are opening up, not because things have gotten better, but because people have cabin fever.
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. Cabin fever like a motherfucker. I mean, there's a lot of people going through that right now. I mean, since this is Race Wars, how many bisexual scenes have you shot in that busy week? God damn it.
Let me think how many girls I've shot with. I have to go through my head real quick.
Girls and blacks, black people.
Oh, black people. I mean, it's pretty common for male talent in the BBW community to be black guys. Black.
Yeah.
Yes. A lot of white guys do not shoot with BBWs.
They can't reach what we can reach, baby. They can't reach through what we can reach through.
I show you my ample butt, but I mean, I'm sure that you can tell me whether you think you could penetrate through all my loveliness.
Oh, I'll get right through it, like Grant through Richmond. But yeah, a lot of I do notice that a lot of black actors, porn actors, work the BBW stuff because they just do.
Yeah,
it's just do. So you have shot with black guys.
Yeah, most of the boy-girl scenes I've done have been with black guys. I have done some with white guys and, like, you know, a Brazilian guy. That's actually the one whose dick I blew on the radio. The Brazilian guy.
I'm Brazilian. So your husband was a white dude?
Yes.
Okay, so when was the last black dude before you started doing it professionally?
Let me see. I've dated a couple of black guys. But the last guy I had sex with before my husband was a white dude.
The guy you had sex with?
I mean, I'll fuck all races, all genders. You know, it doesn't matter to me. Like, if you're hot, you're hot, honestly.
You need t-shirts that say that. It's a long t-shirt, but yeah, get all that on a t-shirt.
Yeah, just boil it down to if you're hot, you're hot. You know, yeah. That'd be perfect.
What about your merch? Do you sell stuff?
I don't yet. That's part of the master plan eventually. Like, I have my domain curvymary.com, which currently redirects to my OnlyFans page, but I want to put up my own site eventually, possibly some sort of subscription model. But I also was thinking about including like a blog on it, you know, where I can talk about various things that interest me, like you know, body positivity, sexism, feminism, you know, politics, that kind of thing. And
you definitely should. You're a good yapper, Mary. A lot of girls ain't good yappers. You good with the jib jab.
Thank you. Yeah, like, actually, I'm even interested into going into broadcasting at some point, you know? Like, it's just the world is my oyster right now, honestly.
You should bring the really naked exciting news back.
Naked news. Yeah, I love the naked news.
Well, you're on
I do naked news.
You? How many fans do you have on your OnlyFans so far?
Oh, on my OnlyFans, I mean, I have a lot of like self-shot, like, you know, solo videos on there. Like, that's how I started, was just like putting my phone on a tripod and facing it toward my bed and playing with myself and filming that. I have a lot of those videos, and I don't have a count. I think last I looked at my OnlyFans, I had like 30 something videos on there.
Mm-hmm. How many subscribers do you have? Like, how many people are following you?
Oh shoot. It varies by day. I mean, like, if I put out like a sale on my Twitter, like, I'll get maybe 50 new people in a day or something like that.
That's a lot, Mary.
Yeah,
What's your take on the Bella Thorne stuff?
Basically, like, I know that there's a lot of sex workers who feel that, you know, she's an actress, you know, stay in your lane kind of stuff. But as someone who's new to the industry, I feel like, you know, if somebody wants to come in and do something a little different, if they want to dabble in sex work, you know, as long as you're genuine about it and you're not just standing in front of the camera in lingerie, like, hey, for an hour.
Like, didn't she, like, mess up people's money? $1,000
doing that.
But didn't she, like, mess up people's money or something?
Didn't share nudes. She didn't have nudes on her.
Yeah, so, like, they had to refund a bunch or something, and then they started making, like, where you can't get tipped above, like, a certain amount. I heard that
she made $2 million in one day, right? Wasn't it a crazy amount she made in a day?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, I just kind of look at it and I shrug my shoulders, and it's just like, you know, like, so as long as you're going to actually do it for real, go ahead and do it. But if you're going to just, like, look cute and, like, take a silly photo or stand in front of the camera doing nothing for an hour, like, I don't think you necessarily should be doing it, because it just,
I tell you this right now, if Bella Thorne would have came out with a goddamn comedy special, I would have been angry as fuck.
But what if she was naked doing stand-up comedy?
Huh?
What if she was naked doing stand-up comedy?
Well, then that's a different thing.
Then we can talk. Just...
now she's just biting off a Tracy Morgan.
Yeah, right.
Now she's just biting off a Tracy Morgan. Either way, it's been done before. Get out of here, Bella Thorne.
She
made a lot of money, though. She made a lot of money in a couple days.
Yeah, but that story went away completely. Like, you don't hear about that at all anymore. I wonder what she did with that.
Because they changed how you get paid. They changed how you can get paid on there. But yeah, I think they gave back something, though. Because at one point, the girls wasn't making no money after that happened. And right. Now I think they gave back something. That's why the story died down. Mm-hmm. Kate, do you know anything about that?
That's what I'm saying. The last I heard was that now you could only cash out once a month instead of, like, whenever you wanted. And that you could only receive – there was a cap on tips. And there was a cap on how much you could charge.
On OnlyFans?
Yeah.
No, I just, every time I see it hits my minimum to cash out, I cash out. Like, I check it every day and see if I can cash out. And, you know, it's safer to do that, I think. Mm-hmm. Especially, when they were having the trouble with the IRS or something, that's when I started cashing out every chance I could, because I didn't want to lose any money.
Right.
But as far as I know, you can cash out all you want as long as you hit your minimum.
Boom. And is everybody minimum different, or how's the minimum work?
I think the minimum is $20. And you can do manual cash outs. You can do scheduled cash outs that are, like, weekly or monthly. But yeah, I don't think there's any limit to how many you can do and how often.
Interesting.
Yeah, maybe that's why the story died down, because they gave back everything they threatened to take away.
Could be. I mean, I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to that story, because, like I said, it's just like, oh, there's another actress, you know, going on OnlyFans. And it's like, maybe when show me somebody who actually does something and I'll watch it.
When they said $2 million in a day, I said, where this bitch live?
No, I want to know which charity is she donating it to.
Herself.
I think everybody asked for refunds.
What's that?
She didn't get the nude.
Oh, yeah, because she didn't show nude, so a lot of customers were upset and wanted their money back.
I guess. But you know what? That's the new thing, is not showing nudes. Like, didn't... Who was it, Beyonce or Rihanna or someone who started an OnlyFans to show, like, a behind the scenes? No, it was Cardi. Cardi B.
It was Cardi B,
An OnlyFans to show behind the scenes of her music video. And she was like, no nudes at all. This is, like, premium content for the music video. It's not pussy content.
My favorite part of the Bella Thorne story was how she was like, oh no, I did it because I was researching a role for a movie that I'm shooting with, insert director's name here. And he was like, there's no such movie.
Well, you know how OnlyFans started, not like with a sex work emphasis. It started right. as like people want to sell subscriptions to like, you know, their little music videos or mm-hmm. their art or something like that. You know, it was for creators who do things outside of sex work, and then it just kind of became a sex work place.
Of course, everything,
you know, it's like what happened to Patreon.
Everything that's technology driven, sex is going to be the top thing on it. I don't care what it is. Definitely. Any social media, any online,
the
sex
number
is
one thing.
Yeah, Snapchat is like look at the internet.
It's like, sure, I can find a roofer on here, but first I want to I'm gonna see titties first.
Well, maybe if I need a roofer, I need to see if the roofer's cute first. I mean,
1,000,000%.
Then you go already writing a script for some porn movie.
Exactly. I'm always thinking the porn ideas. I'm keeping a list of what I want to shoot eventually. I've
from
got
the roofer
themes
to the two.
Sorry?
From the roofer to the tutor? From the roofer to the tutor.
So no, maybe I'll do one with a window installer that's all anal called Rear Window or something like that.
What about the things they use to clean the windows on the outside of the fucking skyscrapers? Fuck on there.
Yeah. That's pretty risky, but how are we going to have someone with a camera and the
you
lighting?
With a camera at the end of the thing and y'all fuck on the other end.
Okay.
All bunch puts against the glass and have people in the offices trying to do work and looking out there like, what the fuck?
I almost shot a scene where I was going to be like pressed up against like the window in the hotel in Vegas, like, you know, like high, like 20 something -ish floor, solid glass window. But like, I don't remember why we didn't end up doing it, but I was going to do that. And, you know, there's your little element of danger right there.
I like that.
It was the lighting, the reflection didn't work. That's right.
Okay. Yeah. How did they shoot out? Were they shooting outside from the window? Like they had a drone or something? I was like to see some drone porn.
I don't think many people who shoot porn for a living have a pilot's license to operate a drone.
You can get some drones in there. I think the porn industry and the nerds who run drones, nerds watch porn.
Nerds, yes, well, there's a lot of nerds in porn. Like, you know, I've shot with a guy whose name is Dorky Darian, and his whole shtick is that he's, you know, this nerdy, dorky, geeky guy. And we did a scene together where we wore cute onesies. Like, I wore my narwhal onesie, and he wore his Spider-Man onesie.
I know what ain't geeky, though. That dick ain't geeky, goddammit. That dick is a bully. His own dick stuffed him into a locker in school.
So when you get sick of porn, if you ever get sick of porn, do you think you'll direct? Do you think you'll like start your own company? What do you think you'll do?
Well,
it's
I'm always
early
looking
now.
For it's early, an yeah. end game, you know, and I was thinking about maybe doing something with investment property because my background in the vanilla world is in that, you know, but at this point, you know, it's like I'm looking for opportunities where it seems like there's a void that needs to be filled. I mean, it is porn. There's holes to be filled, but I'm just trying to figure out what I want to do. Like, I was thinking maybe it'd be cool to have some sort of management company for just BBW girls, because a lot of agents won't even talk to big girls.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, like, because we get paid less, first of all, therefore, if they take one of us on, they make less money than a mainstream girl. And also, I think there's an element of snobbery in there, honestly. I mean, there's a lot of people who, you know, have a problem with big girls, you know, and
BBW is a multi-million dollar industry, though.
It is, and it's trendy right now, even. Like, it's rising in popularity. Like, I came in at a good time for the BBW industry, but there's still a lot to go. Like, my friend and mentor who I live with, Kendra Lee Ryan, she got nominated for an award this year. It was a virtual award show, though. Where it was for best inked clip artist, I believe was what it was called. And right. that's a mainstream category. It's not a BBW category. So that was a big deal for her.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
They're taking over the industry, goddammit.
Yeah, I mean, we have something called the BBW Awards, but, you know, it's I don't know, we'll see how long it lasts, but, you know, what I really want to see is, like, more BBW inclusion in the, you know, the AVN and XBiz Awards.
Now, do the AVN have a BBW Award now, or...
Yeah, I think they do. I think they have just a couple of categories. I mean, I haven't been to an AVN show because I haven't been in the industry long enough, and I was hoping to go this year, but obviously COVID happened. So that is not feasible, and it wouldn't be a wise to go anyway. But, I mean, my goal is to someday, like, do something mainstream. You know, like, I want it to not be a big deal to be a big girl and be in porn. I have been seeing some of the more famous BBW girls doing stuff for the bigger pay sites like Brazzers, for example, and that would be awesome. But right now, I mean, we're you know, in our little niche, and we have our own sites, and you know, people go there to see that. But you know, there's a lot of people out there who like a variety of body types,
right.
And inclusivity is something that I feel is coming, and it's, you know, it's kind of late, honestly. Like, right. I feel like we should be further along by now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how Black people feel, baby. Join the fight.
Well, if yep. it makes you feel better, they don't want 5'11 skinny white models anymore, so.
Well, actually, on the topic of porn and inclusion, I mean, there's definitely a lot of racism inherent in porn, too.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's a fight, you know, to have search terms that people use regularly, because you have to basically reprogram people to change the way they search for porn. Like, instead of typing in some sort of insensitive term, they look for something better. But I mean, you go through the keywords, and they're just a bunch of garbage, honestly.
Mm. Yeah, we talked about that on a couple episodes about Race Wars. So a couple of weeks ago, we had a couple on that's trying to put out, you know, more, you know, positive porn. What's their names again, Karen?
Oh, I didn't hear the whole episode, but it was King Noir, right?
King Noir.
I've spoken with him before.
Jasmine. Yeah, they were gorgeous, first of all, and they were so, like, on their purpose of bringing this, like, the thing was cool, because it wasn't just, like, porn, it wasn't just inclusive porn, it was, like, inclusive people of color, kinky porn. Like, it was all the best hits all in one place. And they're really hot. So it's like, if you want something to, like, pioneer or be better or whatever, it's like, you are, you know, expanding this BBW genre and, like, bringing it to the mainstream. But, like, you're pretty, you're hot. Like, it really helps to have a hot ambassador of something to make people like it. Like, you're like, look, if you, whatever you thought about BBWs is fine, but, like, this face.
Like, yeah, regular hot.
I didn't get to Parkinson's that I saw sexy ass Michael J. Fox.
Right. And then you're like, yes, get me that Parkinson's porn.
Hey, I'm willing to be the naked ambassador for big girls. So
you're doing it. You are.
I'm down. I ran out of fucks to give 5 years ago when I turned 30. So I'm ready to put myself out there for, you know, whatever I need to do. I mean, I couldn't have done porn when I was in my 20s. I was too self-conscious.
Right.
But, you know, now that I'm in my 30s, like, I have the confidence to do a lot of things that I never thought I would have done 100%. Before. So
ain't it great when you fucking start believing in yourself and you go, I was the whole time. Let me fucking take advantage of what and who I am.
You're so right.
These fuckers that I love who I am.
You're so right. Yeah. 30s are such a gift. And do you feel like this is like a COVID, like, you know how a lot of people are just kind of finding their way in COVID because shit hit the fan and people had to make some choices. Is this a COVID miracle?
Yeah, it's like, God bless us all, everyone.
Yes. You feel like you're like kind of directed more because it's a pandemic and you're like, shit, let me fucking figure out what I want to do. I want to do porn.
Yeah, well, I mean, I feel like, you know, COVID did give me an opportunity that I would have never otherwise seen. because I had my mind closed to the possibility, because like I said, I didn't think it was feasible right. for all sorts of reasons. And a lot of them were based in shame around my body and societal standards and parental expectations and, you know, like, just like slut shaming and people yeah. having an issue with pornography, like the, just the existence of it, you know? And it's like, it is incredibly hard to like do something that people don't expect you to do. Right. But at the same time, like, I feel as if the revelation that, you know, I have worth, I have value, I am attractive, you know, people want to fuck me, like, that came late in life, but it was revolutionary for me. And yep. and self-love is something that's so important and so lacking in so many people. And if we just, you know, collectively all were, you know, a little bit more understanding of each other, you know, more people could see their own value and be happier.
Oh yes, what a day. What a day when the tables don't turn. What a day when the tables don't turn. What a day. Now, where can people find you and find your work and find your material and all that?
All right. So the plug is curvymary.com, directs to my OnlyFans currently, but eventually it'll be a whole big website. And my Twitter and my Instagram are at curvymary8. So I, you know, you can just Google Curvy Mary. I mean, I picked my name because I wanted something that was easy to remember and easy to type when you've got one hand available. So,
Katie, Kate, plug, you want to do some pluggy plugs?
Yeah, I'm Kate and my Instagram is at Scotch the Cat. And, yeah, I mean, it's COVID right now. I don't really have that much shit going on.
Make it happen, girl. Make it happen.
It's time for OnlyFans, goddammit.
That's right.
Wait, Dora.
I'll give you tips.
My Instagram, as you guys know, is Karen Margolis, KerenMargolis. It's Twitter also, but let's just not. And don't forget to like us and rate us and subscribe to us on iTunes and everywhere that you listen to podcasts. Check out the video on YouTube so you can see everybody's gorgeous face. Curvy Mary is hot as shit. Kate's really pretty and I'm here too. And also check out my newest project, Two Black Guys with Good Credit. If you are having credit things you want resolved, I did it and it was a massive success and I love that show, so let me know what you think. And as always, Nerdgasm on Compound Media. Tell them you love it.
Excelente. What a great show, guys. What a fun show. Make sure that you catch us at patreon.com/racewars and catch Small Ball, my sports comedy podcast, on Apple Music and Spotify through Embassy Row. And yeah, the Barstool. Barstool's up now. Check out that Barstool episode on the KFC Radio, baby. We had a good time, me and Kev. Just kicking it. Just two boys kicking it. So you check that out on Barstool Sports, Barstool, KFC Radio. And yeah. What a fun. I mean, I hate Zoom shows. Where I can actually, you know, grab people and grab a titty if I needed to. This is fun too, I guess.
This was great.
Have fun?
Yeah, you guys were awesome. Kate, Curvy Mary, you guys are smoking hot. And this was a really fun show. Thank you.
Fun show, man. Race Wars in the building. Make sure you vote, keep voting, and keep watching porn, goddammit. America.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.